The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, by any conceivable measure, Mikhail Baryshnikov is one of the great performing artists of our time, and he's considered one of the greatest ballet dancers in history. He took on modern dance and became prominent in that, but as he got older, the transition ran even deeper. He started acting. And right now, this weekend and the rest of the month, he's playing one of his own artistic forebears, the great dancer Vaslav Nijinsky. Here's the backstory. Nijinsky was the star dancer of the Ballet Russe, the Russian ballet, a century ago, and also a very important choreographer as well, an international star. But Nijinsky began to unravel. He was eventually diagnosed with schizophrenia and spent much of his life in an institution. Baryshnikov is performing as Nijinsky now in a one-man show called Letter to a Man. The letter of the title was addressed to Sergei Diaghilev, the founder of the Ballet Russe.
Now Nijinsky and Diaghilev were lovers as well as collaborators.
Of course.
Yeah. And so this is a kind of unreceived letter from Nijinsky to Diaghilev.
Yes. And I'll try to find this in a second. For example, that it's two men. I cannot call you by name, because you cannot be called by your name. I need thought. I am not afraid of you. I know you hate me. I love you as a human being. I do not want to work with you. I want to tell you one thing. I work a lot. I am not dead. I am alive. Within me lives God. I live in God. God lives in me. I'm very busy working on dances. My dances are making progress. It's beautiful.
It's extraordinary. This Diary of Nijinsky's was first published in 1936 and then again in 1999. And not only is it haunted and moving, it's also an extremely important document for the study of mental illness.
It is really such a coherent memoir and diary. And Henry Miller said that it was one of the most raw, fascinating book he almost ever read, it was compelled by its honesty and rigor. And it's really never happened. With all that Nietzsche and Van Gogh and Schumann, who really were schizophrenics at the end of their lives, nobody wrote anything about their feelings.
And it's a coherent record of their own madness.
That's
in
right.
Some way.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, I watched this performance on video, and it will be at BAM quite soon. And I wondered to myself, you were a dancer for a long time, and you always planned to begin at least to step away from dancing in your 30s. You stayed longer than that. But did you plan on it? that becoming, in a sense, an actor. You had had acting roles, obviously. People saw White Knights and other things, but this has now become the center of your creative life. Were you planning it?
No, it happened really one day. I was in Paris, and I was, and I'm still, the good friend of Roman Polanski. Roman was performing in Franz Kafka's Metamorphoses, and he was stupendous in the role, so wonderful and so powerful. And I went twice or three times, you know, a couple of days on the row, and then...
This is when?
It was in
the
Paris.
70s.
Yeah, I mean, it was early 80s already, yeah. Kind of. Roman even said, you know what, I think you could do it yourself. You should, of course, I cannot do it. I said, people spend lifetimes learning the acting craft, and I'm a dancer, you know. And he said, I know, you've seen a dance and this and that. You can do it. You can move. In this particular production, he was working on the floor, you know, kind of like on cockroach, yeah. You know. And he really convinced that I would like to experience being on stage and hear my voice.
But my question though is this: is did getting immersed in this craft make getting a little older and not dancing at ABT or City Ballet easier to undergo?
I never planned, you know, I don't know what's next. I mean, for me in my life, you know, I did the first Metamorphosis, let's say, when I was dancing full out. You know, when I arrived, I know I danced maybe Giselle, you know, in one evening, and the next day I rehearsed with Ellie Nelly and Judy Jamison, you know, classical roles, and then work with Martha Graham. You know, I kind of went ahead of myself a little bit, and sometimes I succeed, sometimes I failed.
Now, I think if I'm right, all throughout your career as a dancer, you were asked to play Nijinsky in one form or another.
You know, believe it or not, like more than 50 years ago when I was 15 probably, it was my first acting experience in the Vaganova choreographic school. We had a sort of acting class. And one of my first scenes, it was a scene from Petrushka, which, of course, was very famous, Nijinsky's role. And at that time, of course, in the 60s, talk about Diaghilev and Nijinsky, you know, people who left Russia and never actually returned. They were people who, a lot of people thought that they abandoned motherland, and, you know, they were treated by Soviets like they were defectors.
Non-persons.
In fact, non-persons. Although they left a long time before the revolution, even.
You went back. You visited Latvia.
Well, Latvia is not Russia.
Have you not been to post-Soviet Russia? Have
no.
You? And won't go. Tell me
no,
why.
Absolutely. I left for the right reason, and I don't support that government, and I don't...
And even in the early 90s, there was no temptation?
No. No.
I was very surprised, Misha, to see a little video of you endorsing Hillary Clinton, not because I expected you to be endorsing Donald Trump, but in this ad, you seem to make it plain that the alternative reminds you of authoritarian systems of your own past.
42 years ago, I left a country that built walls to come to a place without them. But today, as a citizen of the United States, for the first time, I'm hearing rhetoric that reminds me of the Soviet Union of my youth, where it was... Well, it's obviously Mr. Trump's fascination with a strong people. And he's flirted with particularly with Putin, you know. In my view, Russian people really admire people, fascinated by people whom they are afraid of. And that's what Mr. Trump wants the people, be afraid of him. And this is the very dangerous path, in my view. And I don't know personally. I have once, my wife and him and his wife had a dinner that just happened. We were seated across the table.
With the Trumps. I want to know everything about that.
Well, it was a couple of hours of saying practically nothing. Nothing. You said, well, we're in the same profession. You build and I build. And that time...
You build great structures, as he says.
That's right. Structures. No, because I've heard you build this something center. I said yes, but I explained what we build, Berezhnikov Art Center and all that. And I said you building centers, and I build the Trump Towers, and I said fine. And then he was wondering about sort of financial arrangements, how I raise money, and then he said, why you didn't ask me for money? I said, Mr. Trump, there's a long line probably to you. I said, no, you go around, you say my name. I've heard you play, I saw you play golf, in some of my courses. I have the most beautiful courses in the world, and you should play that. You should ask me. But President Clinton asked me for it, and he plays, And I'll send a car for you. I said, no, I drive. I said, no. And then in back, I said, well, thank God I didn't ask him for money. Just like it would have been, really.
Misha's hand gestures are beautifully Trumpian, and that's 50 years of training on the ballet stage and now theater. What's ahead for you after you finish performing Letter to a Man? What are you thinking about doing?
Well, I am doing actually a rehearsing dance show, and I never thought that I'd go back in my age back to dancing. It's minimal dancing, but it's an hour on stage.
You're 68. How do you keep yourself in dancing shape?
I work a couple of hours every day in the studio and try to...
The same old routines, the same old...
Yeah, slightly different because I worked with a different kind of rubber balls and then working with a physiotherapist, and I know already my body so well that what I have to do. And then I do sort of version of a ballet bar, from all those pliés and tendus .
What can't you do now? In other words, physically, what do you say? I'm not even going close to that. And is it frustrating, or do you understand it at the fullest sense?
Well, the body reminds me how old I am every time you wake up and go to the first trudge to the bathroom. It takes me an hour just to get...
So you wake up in the morning and you feel like someone's been beating you with a baseball bat as well?
Of course.
Oh, I feel so much better.
Of course.
Misha, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mikhail Baryshnikov, the one and only. He's starring in Letter to a Man, directed by Robert Wilson, in New York at the Brooklyn Academy of Music.